Blog Talk Radio.
Shreveport, Louisiana has another homicide on his hands. Good afternoon and welcome to Injustice Investigations. I'm Al Scott.
And this is your boy, Rod Thomas Jr. And we got a real kind of like hard-hitting, heavy episode of Injustice Investigations today, so we're going to get right off into it. Starting with what Alfonso just touched upon, Freeport has had his latest murder. Now, what is that, Alfonso? What, we at 24, 25 now?
I think we're about at 25. I lost count like 2 weeks ago.
I lost count too. Yeah, me myself. It's been so many. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But today we want to just touch briefly on the situation. Hopefully we can touch our listeners to understand that it's a more proactive approach we got to take now, because praying for the violence to stop it's not mm-hmm. been happening for us. It ain't happened for us in the last 400 years. We got to actually try to find some tangible ways to get out here and challenge this violence. But let me get off into this story real quick. And this is concerning the last shooting, the most recent shooting here in Shreveport. I'm going to read this story, and this is fair use, coming from KSLA, a local news channel here in Shreveport, Louisiana. And it says, Cattle Corner ID's morning shooting victim. This, just, again, happened overnight, wasn't it? Last few hours of Memorial Day.
Yeah, shortly after midnight, I think.
Yeah. Okay. The Cattle Parish Coroner's Office has released the name of the man shot to death early Tuesday morning. Robert E. Patterson, 31, was identified by Shreveport Police by his fingerprints. According to officers on the scene at Earl Street and Dowdale Street, Robinson's body was found with a gunshot wound to the head shortly after midnight. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Officers responded to a report of a shooting in the area after they received a 911 call from someone who said they heard a single gunshot. The man's body was found at the intersection about a block away from Cattle Heights Elementary School. Ain't that? Don't they got a no weapon zone at the school? And these Negroes do not care. You know, but anyway, let me finish this story off. Witnesses told police they were walking east on Dowdale Street when they saw a man near the stop sign firing a shot, and then they saw the victim fall. Anyone with information about this crime is asked to call the Shreveport. Well, hell, ask them niggas that say they saw the nigga get shot. I mean, excuse my language, but anyway, that's the latest insanity here in Shreveport, y'all. And, I don't know what to say, Alfonso. We did too many shows on this just in the last month. You know what I'm saying? I really don't know
right.
what to say.
I think shortly before you and I came on air, you were saying that this is becoming the norm. And sad but true, it's becoming the norm here in Shreveport. And last week, a pregnant female was involved in an altercation in Houghton, Louisiana, at a trail ride. And when she made it back to Shreveport in the 6100 block of Canal Street, someone pulled up in a white Chevy Tahoe and opened fire on her. She was 3 months pregnant. She was hit in the leg. She was taken to University Health Hospital with life-threatening injuries. Yes. And at 11:02 p.m. Last week in the 8100 block of Pines Road, a couple was laying in the bed, and they heard someone knocking on their patio door. So the husband got up to go and see who was at the door. When he pulled the blinds back, someone opened fire on him. He was shot in the upper arm, went to University Health, and, of course, he is doing okay. Well, I think that same night, another man was at home asleep on the 200 block of Wilkinson Street, and he woke up to a loud sound in his home when he went to investigate to see what was going on. Robert, he found two armed men standing in his kitchen, and he was beat in the head, and they then made him text his roommate to come to the apartment. Once the roommate arrived, they were demanding money. The roommate tried to run, and he was shot in the buttocks. And this is it's becoming a norm, and you know, the only thing that I can say is that whatever we're doing in Shreveport, it's evident that it's not working. And I know other cities and states have had issues like this, and some have been able to turn things around. So I don't know what the mayor's doing, what the chief of police is doing, but maybe if they haven't done it already, they need to get on the flight and go somewhere they've had these issues before, and they were able to turn their city back around, because this is becoming the norm, and it is something that we have to address in a very aggressive manner. And we look at history, as we talked a couple of weeks ago. History tells us that whatever we're doing, Robert, it's not working.
Well, Alfonso, as you were speaking, I couldn't tell whether you was reading off the local news or reciting the latest episode of the First 48, because that's how crazy this thing has become in the last few, the first few months of this year. We had, 25 people, just say, on a safe estimate, 25 people to be murdered. We still got almost 7 months to go, man, 6 months to go in a year. Well, we on pace already. We got half the number of murders we had last year. And
exactly.
So we got six. It's getting crazy. But all this has the potential to get even crazier if we tie this into one of the main subjects that we want to talk about, which is Donald Trump and his budget cuts, because according to these budget cuts, man, he's going to push more and more people further and deeper into poverty. You see what I'm saying? Well, you're going to have more dumb stuff like this happening because people are economically oppressed. People are disenfranchised. I'm going to just keep this real for all our listeners. We ain't about none of that racism and none of that, but the truth is what it is. You have a power structure that seeks to keep a certain group of the population, mostly black, but all those who are poor, oppressed, fighting their wars, you know what I'm saying, and fighting for scraps in the middle of the street. So that's why you see a lot of times you see mentally ill people out here committing a lot of these murders, and a lot of these murders have to do with drug debts, and just keep it real. You know, black people, we need to stop, sit down, think about these issues, and really just understand that if we don't come together and unite and create our own business and financial infrastructure like all the other races do with these Donald Trump new budget proposals, it's going to get totally worse for us, man.
Well, you know, Robert, I agree with you a billion percent. And one of our problem, it's just my opinion as blacks, is that we wait until the 11 o'clock hour to want to address an issue, but by then it is entirely too late. Even when you stroll through Facebook and you look at the posts that some black people are posting on Facebook, and you wonder, do they have a clue as to what's going on or what's about to happen? They don't seem like they do. They don't.
Well, no, they don't, because you said it perfectly, man. It's like the majority of the people across, black people across the United States, are not even aware of real issues because they're too busy watching reality TV, listening to this rap music, playing video games, doing all this dumb stuff that is designed to dumb you down and take away your ability to think. So now, you know what I'm saying? They're so caught up in being entertained, as we always say. They don't even care about being informed because, again, briefly talking about a situation that we got going on right here in Shreveport, while you got these people distracting you downtown with these Confederate monuments, the city and the parish are spending hundreds of millions of dollars every other day just on construction projects around the city. And I'll venture to say that less than 1/100 of the black people know about it, and less than that are able to go out and procure some of these contracts. But again, we're being distracted by everything around us, even with the point that we're being distracted about Donald Trump and the Russians. And all this is really a major distraction to keep you from understanding what Trump is about to do when he basically went over to Saudi Arabia. What was that, last weekend before last? He gave these folks over $110 billion in weapons, the same thing that you see each other we killing each other in the streets with here, weapons. He just gave them $110 billion for weapons. And at the same time, now he's saying he's going to cut food stamps and Medicaid specifically, affecting almost, you know what I'm saying, 78 to 100-some million people in America and pushing people further and further into poverty. So it's crazy to see how we as black people have become so disenfranchised and enchanted by the spells that the media has put over us that we can't even see our destruction getting worse. You know?
Exactly. You know, if you look on Facebook especially, they will share a post about a fight before they share anything that's going to affect them and their families for the rest of their lives. So as you always said, they rather be entertained than informed, because we have a man in the White House that has zero experience in the government, and where people are getting lost at, they think because Donald Trump runs a company that he can run a country. Mm-hmm. Now, Robert, you and I know there's two different big things there. And it's evident from day one, and I'm going to use Donald Trump's word. He's so loosely used all the time. From day one, it has been a disaster in the White House.
Yeah.
It has been a disaster in the White House. And now we have a budget proposal that's on the table that even some Republicans, Robert, are not in agreement with this.
They play like they aren't, man. You got to realize these Democrats and Republicans, I call them Republicrats, because they all in on the game, man. It's
okay.
One of the biggest games. You have to go back in history and research British India, the British and India conflict. And they came up with a term called the Great Game. Basically, it's taught across a lot of spectrums. People who believe in Illuminati, people who believe in black consciousness, all people agree that there is a deception upon the people of the earth, as if we really have a choice, if we really have a voice, as if we really can stand up and fight. But in reality, the corporations, the bankers, and the military-industrial complex, all these people have corrupted your government to, again, where Republicans and Democrats are the same. So they're putting up a front for us in the media, showing that there's contentions in the White House. Come on, man, if them folk really wanted to impeach Donald Trump, they could have been came up on something right now to impeach it.
Well, if you want to talk about impeachment, yes, he has committed many impeachable acts since he's been in the White House. So, yeah, you're right about that, yeah.
But at the same time, I'm just keeping this real. Everybody from pretty much every president you had has some kind of vice. But really, pretty much everybody since Nixon that's been in your White House, including Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, both Bushes, these people, man, are basically criminals. You see what I'm saying? They have been involved in so much criminal activity, namely drug dealing and basically illegal wars in other countries, that they, you know what I'm saying, you can't just put it off on Trump. Now, Trump is the worst of them all because, again, like you say, he's thinking just because he ran a country, he could run this corporation. Because you got to realize now, America is really a corporation. It's not so much as a country. Donald Trump is the CEO of the largest corporation in the world. So he's going to run it like a business. And a business is going to streamline everything that's not necessary to their daily expenses, meaning food stamps, Medicaid, and all that. You know what I'm saying? So we can't put it off on Trump. It's a system that has been deceiving American people from the day they let the Federal Reserve take over. I think it was in 1913, where everything that you see in is a lie and an illusion. Now, let me get back into today's topic. The lie to us is that Donald Trump is preparing all these jobs that's supposed to be coming back to America. So what he's saying is that he wants to force the people off of social programs and get us some jobs, meaning I've seen in some articles and some writings where he's saying that people who are on disability will have their cases looked at, and if they feel they can work in any way, they're going to have to get off the disability. You see what I'm saying? So, and the people on Medicaid, basically you're going to have a certain amount of time to I guess you could say, find your own, whatever it is, But this dude is bringing about cuts that, you know, would seem medieval, really.
Right.
In any
right.
other time.
Yeah, and that's why if you are receiving any kind of government assistance, I felt it was imperative that you listen to today's show, because we're going to break the budget down and we're going to look at numbers today as what's being cut, and find out what happens to those that are lose their entitlements, if we may, Robert, and see what's going on. But before I give out numbers, I want to quote something that Donald, budget director, said a few weeks ago when they were talking about cutting after-school programs. Donald Trump's budget director said, "There is no evidence to support after-school programs benefit students." Robert, do you agree or disagree with that statement?
I can't really comment, because you have to look at the mentality of people who are running this country. When I think it was 4 years ago, no, eight, 12 years, 8 years ago, they asked Madeleine Albright. Now it was who was the Secretary of State then? I think it was Madeleine Albright. But anyway, they asked her, "Do you think the war on terrorism was worth 500,000 innocent children in the Mideast and other parts of Asia and India being slaughtered?" And this woman said, "Yeah." You see what I'm saying? She said it was worth the risk. So it's like,
wow,
they don't care about after school programs for poor children. Because guess what? They kids don't go to these after school programs. You
exactly.
see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They don't care about, you know what I'm saying, free lunch programs for the children. They don't care literally about taking just say 70-some million to 100-some million people off of food stamps over the next 3 years, basically telling them that you got to get a job and support yourself. But 3/4 of the jobs out here are minimum wage, low-paying job where you cannot support a family on, you know? So they don't
exactly.
care about those
right.
things like after-school programs or
exactly.
stuff for the poor people, you know?
Well, one of the things I wanted to look at today was the food stamp program, because in the budget cut, Donald Trump plans to cut, I think it's $194 billion from the program. And it was, if we go back a bit, when the program first came about during the Great Depression, Roosevelt, I think in May 1939, implemented the program, because a lot of people at that particular time, they were out of work, they were unemployed, you know, jobs were hard to find. But it was just supposed to be a temporary fix, you know, to get people, you know, food so that they can continue to live. But of course, we know today it still exists. And I think last year, statistics says there was about 44.2 million Americans that was on food stamp, and it's now called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. But $194 billion will be cut from that. So, Robert, you know as well as I do, some of the people that are going to be cut actually need this program, you know. But then we have some that we know they play the system. It was a lady on a talk show a few years ago, and she had been on it, welfare food stamps, for about 18 years. And so they asked her, she said she couldn't find a job. So in my mind, I'm going like, well, where in the hell is she looking, in the bedroom? You know, because we have people that look at the government as their help. And so the government becomes their crutch. And they
yeah.
have depended upon the government for entirely too long. And in depending upon the government, they have really, in essence, handicapped themselves. So we do have some able bodies that needs to be pulled off the system. But this is going to be worse than people think, because some of these people that you're going to cut now are convicted felons. And we know about convicted felons, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course we know about convicted felons.
So, I mean, you know, you play connected dots and convicted felons trying to find a job, you know, you would probably find a needle in a haystack. first, you know. But what will happen when millions and millions of people, Robert, are cut off of food stamps that really and truly need them and don't have an income coming in, or they have a very low income coming in?
Well, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have a lot of people forced deeper into poverty, which means it's going to increase your crime rate, which means they're going to have a chance to fill up a lot of these prisons that they're building. That's really part of the great game. Again, when I was talking about the British, I got sidetracked, but they created what was called a great game, and it was a deception. So
okay.
Now think about this. Let me reiterate something you just said. And I want the listeners to grasp hold to the full magnitude of what I'm about to say. Now, Alfonso just told you all that they're going to cut $194 billion, hopefully, from food stamp, in their opinion. But at the same time, 2 weeks ago, this same man who's talking about he's going to cut $194 billion from food stamps was over in Saudi Arabia telling them he was finna, he gave them already, pretty much the check just got to be signed, but he gave them $110 billion in weapons. Let that sink
wow.
in. Again, he told you all that he's cutting $194 billion from the people who could afford it the least, the poor people, the people who are already oppressed. But he's going to give Saudi Arabia $110 billion. So really, that means all they got to do is make up $84 billion, and they're going to do that when they cut what? Medicaid. You see what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly.
So this is the magnitude of what I'm trying to get the listeners to grasp hold to. And this is the reason why we do these shows. There are far bigger issues. You know what I'm saying? The reason why we have a lot of crime in our neighborhoods is because you push a lot of poor people to the edge. Now, granted, a lot of these shootings ain't got nothing to do with drugs or crime or nothing. It's just a bunch of crazy people with guns. You know what I'm saying? Guns don't kill people. It's crazy people with the guns that
exactly.
kill people. But when you're pushing a whole, just say 60-some million people into total desperation mm-hmm. now, you know what I'm saying? Just imagine how these poor people are going to, and I'm one of the poor, so when I say these poor people, I'm including myself. Just imagine how people going to respond when you got a choice to feed your kid, you know what I'm saying, or something else, another bill. You already got people on Medicaid right now having to decide whether they're going to buy food or medicine. And you're talking about slashing the budget for American citizens here who basically are dependent on this monthly payment that they get from the government. But at the same time, you're going to reward these folks overseas with weapons.
And Robert, right, and Robert, since you own Medicaid, the budget, his cut for that will be $627 billion from Medicaid.
Okay, yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. I'm sitting up here wondering how our listeners are taking this information in, or are they really not paying attention to the magnitude of what the numbers you just gave and the numbers and facts that I just gave. This man is going to cut, what'd you say, $600 million from Medicaid?
$627 billion from Medicaid. From Medicaid. He also plans to cut $18 billion from the Centers for Disease Control, $2 billion from the food and safety inspection.
Now tell me.
And these are not
like,
all the budget cuts. Go ahead.
Don't this sound like the leader of a major corporation as opposed to a president?
Exactly, exactly.
And that's
your
what
family,
he's running
you,
his government like, a business, a corporation that it really is. America is a corporation. My friends, and
exactly.
Donald Trump just happens to be the president of the largest corporation in the world. And he don't give a damn about you. It's all about his bottom line. Because if he's trying to fill himself up, huh?
You know, if you look at his cabinet, you know, the people that make up his cabinet, you're talking big bucks, they all have them.
Yeah, yeah. They're all connected in some type of way to the corporate industrial complex, whether it be oil, whether it be insurance, real estate, or whatever, they're all connected. Basically, they're the top 1% of the world, of the elite. That's what they call themselves, the elite. They're the top 1%. So you got another 99%, basically, even rich people right now, really fighting for scraps. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because the 1% own everything. When you have all these mm-hmm. presidents who have made decisions to benefit the military-industrial complex. Now, let me explain a little bit about the military-industrial complex. And, again, this might drive home the magnitude of what we're saying. Is what happens in war is you have bankers who on both sides lend money to both fighting parties. You see what I'm saying? So now you have mm-hmm. a banker that gives them the money. They, in turn, buy weapons from defense contractors. You see what I'm saying? Now, once they buy the weapons from the defense contractor, they bring the weapon back home, and they destroy each other. And then in the end, the bankers turn around and loan them money, you know what I'm saying, to rebuild their country. It's one of the biggest games in history. And the United States is the main perpetrator in going into other countries, starting revolt, creating war, profiting for the military-industrial complex, and then in most cases, the oil industry, the gold industry, the silver industry, all these other industries prosper because they went in there and took these folks' stuff. Now, again, I bring up the military-industrial complex because, again, I'm trying to drive home to the listeners the importance and to show you that these people don't give a damn about you because they're cutting $194 million from food stamps. Alfonso said they're cutting $600 billion. I meant to say $194 billion, but now they're cutting $600 billion for Medicaid. The people who could least afford it the most have to pay for all these weapons that they send over to other countries so the corporations can wage war, the bankers can loan money, they can destroy their country. You see the game that I'm trying to put to the people, Alfonso?
Exactly. And it's evidence when you look at the makeup of his cabinet because all of those in there help benefit him and their interests.
Yeah, because they are all owners of some type of corporation. These are businessmen. Now, let's throw something else into the pot. Now you have Jeff Sessions, Attorney General, coming back, 2 weeks ago, saying that they're going to start going back to prosecuting drug dealers and stuff like that more aggressively. Well, first question we should ask, are you going to prosecute them boys as in Colorado and other places around America selling marijuana for free? Are you going to continue to put poor black men in the jail for selling a few ounces or pounds of something that other people are selling tons of per hour? Are you going to continue to lock these people up? Are you going to continue to go back to the Clinton era sentences? When people can't afford to feed their family, they're going to go out and sell dope, and now they're going to fill these jails up, and then you're going to give them 120 years for 3 crack rocks. So it all plays into a part of, again, the bigger picture. And the more you peel layers, you know what I'm saying, off the picture, you get down to the core of it, and you realize the core, again, is a bunch of people who got all the money, who don't give a damn about people who ain't got no money. Because the people who ain't got no money are nothing but slaves.
Exactly. I saw a post on one of your pages. It may have been the real news behind the news. Justice for Felons, I'm not sure. But you were talking about Michael Jackson, and Michael Jackson warned us years ago when he said that they don't really care about us. And if there's ever been a true song or a true statement, that was it. But a lot of blacks just kind of grooved to it because it had a nice beat, but they missed the hidden message.
I mean, the message is so obvious that they don't care about you. When, like I say, you look at the news and everything from not just Donald Trump, but here in Louisiana, every time they have a budget crisis, the first people who got to suffer are the poor people. Now, this is one thing I must challenge us as a people. Stop depending on these people for their stuff. Straight up. You know what I'm saying? I find it kind of crazy for a person to sit around and say, I'm going to wait on my check from the government to come every month. If you wait on a $760 check with the food stamps, you probably get another $200. So just say you wait on $900 a month. Well, if you use your mind, your skills, your hands, you can go out there and make that in a week on some jobs. You see what I'm saying? But we have a culture, ever since the war on poverty in the late 60s, we have a culture that rewards irresponsibility. and a culture that has pushed the black father away from the home. So from the 60s on up, you see what they call the generational cycle of people who's on welfare. And you still have that today. You have a whole group of women right now whose sugar daddy is the government. You see what I'm saying? Because
the
government.
Exactly. Right. Too Short, when you were talking, something you said made me think about Too Short. I think it was in the song The Ghetto when he said, instead of waiting on the government to help you, you better help yourself.
Better help yourself. Yeah.
And,
because now
and
the government basically told you to F you. Donald Trump and his government basically told you to go screw yourself with some barbed wire wrapped around a hot curling iron. That's basically the way they feel about you and what they just told you.
Right. And Robert, we have to be honest, you know. We do have some people that have made the system into a career. Most of them have been down for so long till being down for some blacks just don't bother them anymore, and they're not trying to do anything. Now, I don't know if you share in this belief here, but I believe for certain individuals, especially able-bodied individuals, there should be a certain amount of time that you are allotted to be, receiving food stamps. And then they get on there and there's no exit plan. It's like when someone moves in with you, right? If you let someone move in with you, then they should come with an exit plan. But most people do not come with an exit plan. So then you should have an exit plan drew up for them and try to help them execute that so that they can get out quicker. But I think that we, especially with, like you said, with black women, that it's gotten to the point where it's handed down, you know, this tradition now. When you get pregnant by John, Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike, well, don't call on them to take care of the child. You call on the United States government.
Yeah.
And
then they
don't
call on them.
Doing.
Now, the United States government got a way called child support where they call on these Negroes who are, you know what I'm saying? So either way it goes, the government going to get there. But it reinforces a culture of irresponsibility. You know, amongst the people. Not just black people, don't get me wrong, but disproportionately amongst black people. You see what I'm saying? Again, you have generational cycles where LaQuandra want to sit around the house, you know what I'm saying, watch Young and the Restless all day long, and she knows that she's going to be taken care of because she knows specifically how to manipulate the system, what appointment she got to keep her child crazy chick coming. You see what I'm saying? But what people don't what people don't realize is when you dependent upon the government, it ain't free. Because first of all, it's costing the taxpayers. But you're going to have to give up a lot of rights. You're going to have to give up a lot of your human dignity. Because at one point, they was putting these NOR plants in certain women who the government felt was at risk to continue the cycle of bringing these bastard kids into the world. You know what I'm saying? So they forced them. Now, when you cut these food stamps, whatever the government tells you, you got to do in order to feed your kids. That's what you're going to have to do. But until that point, I mean, what are you going to stand up and do right now to make sure that you don't have to receive something that's a handout? Because what the Proverbs say, if you give a man a fish, he's going to only eat for that day. But if you teach him how to fish, he'll eat forever. And that's what we're lacking. Go ahead.
Nobody is doing anything. You know, if you go in certain areas, certain black areas, everybody's doing something close to nothing, and everybody's waiting on midnight for a car to be loaded with the food stamps of the money. So a lot of our people are not trying to do anything. But my worry is for those who really need it and can't do any better right now, that they will be cut off. And then elderly couples that once was able to have food and prescription meds, well, they go back to making that decision once a month. Is it prescription meds or do we eat this month?
Yeah, and that's literally the position I know. I literally know a lot of people personally who are in that situation where they have to depend on, decide whether they're going to eat or they're going to pay medication. But again, I don't know, Alfonso. I mean, how do you break through to a people who don't want to be broken through to, who remain behind that wall that they built up, like everything's just perfect? How do you break? I mean, because you and I try to do it every day on Facebook.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We try to do it in the streets, in the real world, you know? But it seems
right.
like the message is not getting through.
They don't want to hear anything that's going to say, look, you have become part of your own problem. You have just gotten relaxed with what's going on. And believe it or not, there are benefits, Robert. And I'm going to say it again, and I hope the listeners really get this. There are benefits for some people sitting on their butts doing something close to nothing every day, because guess what? There is a system that will send you money just for doing nothing. And so when you get to that point, you know, you're on the street corner and you got this one tin cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when that cup gets full, you realize that this is a good thing I've got going. So you put a cup in the other hand. And so there are benefits for people that don't want to do anything. And those benefits come from the United States government. But what they're not understanding is it's really a it's a trap. Let's look at a couple that's getting ready to file for divorce. Both of them want the children. Well, the courts have to decide where will the child or the children should be, which is best for the child. Well, naturally, really the system could care much. I mean, could care less about how much you love a child. They want to know who's able to provide for the child.
Yeah.
And so when you look at the United States government, here's what's going on. And it sounds crazy, but it could happen. I'm taking care of your child. I'm feeding your child. I put you in an apartment. I also help pay your bills. I put food in your children's mouth. So technically, the government is the daddy. And so if the government knocks on the door one day and says, Latasha, Shaquita, I need the children to come out because I'm taking care of them. You're not taking care of them. You keep walking around town with a shirt that says, I got my own, but you don't have a damn thing because that's not your apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you let me pay the bills, I begin to set the rules. And for a minute, you'll be okay with them, Robert. But later on, you don't want to abide by the rules anymore. So I'm like, well, what the hell are you going to do? You can't do anything for yourself. You don't know how to work a cash register. You can't put meat on a bun.
It's too late then, because first of all, they made sure that Jerome ain't nowhere around, you know what I'm saying, to help take care of the kids. So they put them deliberately into slavery. You see what I'm saying? So it's the food stamp, the Medicaid system, the welfare system, period, all the social services in America. For those who really need it, it is a blessing. But really, it is nothing more than an organized form of slavery. Because now, instead of having you work out there in those fields, you know what I'm saying, they have mostly our women sitting around the house waiting on a check every month to pay their rent, to pay their bills, which most of them turn around and spend money, you know, food stamps, go to Coco's, you know. But it's nothing more than a new form of organized slavery. That's all it is.
And I think we as blacks, we need to come together, and we need to start educating our people to prepare them for the workforce. And this will not be a program to where the incentive is you're going to keep your food stamps or whatever, the check is still coming. We don't have anything to do with that. If you're serious about getting up off your butt doing something for yourself, then we get a building and we start educating our people, making sure they get a GED, they graduate from high school, they go to college. And we teach them how to do job applications. We teach them how to do resumes and stuff, because the rainy day is coming, and it's going to come sooner than they think. And then you're going to be standing outside. You're going to be looking super stupid. So I think we have to play a part in it, like doing a show like today. We're trying to warn the people as to what's getting ready to happen. While you're sitting there saying, it can't do this, can't do that. Well, your emotions and the law are two different things.
Two different things, two totally different things, and that's what they got to grasp hold to. The law says this. Now, your great-grandmama and all your folk stories can say one thing, but that does not hold up in a court of law.
And, you know, when Trump was running for office, I personally didn't think he stood a chance to ever walk into the Oval Office and sit behind that desk as President of the United States. And to a degree, I think a lot of white people that voted for Trump, they didn't vote for him because they knew he was qualified, because they knew he wasn't. It was a game to them. Well, let's put him in there because we know he is a known racist, and then he's going to do things to make things worse for the blacks, right?
Yeah.
Well, some
I
of that turned around. Yeah, some of that turned around and backfired on them because when he got to talking about cutting Section 8, well, here's where the white people began to say impeachment when he got to talking about cutting Section 8, because some of these same white folks own these homes and apartments that are on Section 8, and they pay their mortgage with them homes and apartments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now Trump is talking about. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah, okay, so now Trump is talking about taking food out of their mouth. Okay, so no, the devil is a lie. Trump, this is something we cannot do, you know. So in essence, to hurt the black America, it has backfired on them. And now they used to say Trump was a narcissist, and that's not true because he just don't care about himself. He cares about himself and his family only.
Mm-hmm.
You
well,
know, but,
I see things, and this is just the way I see things. The Democrats blew it when they insisted and stole all those elections for Hillary Clinton.
Mm.
Bernie Sanders
mm-hmm.
would have beat Donald Trump, literally, because that was the difference really in him winning was the people and the delegates that would have went to Bernie Sanders went to Trump, because didn't nobody like Hillary. Now, here again, you have this man who, whether he's racist or not, was a business. I wouldn't even so much say a genius, but he was brilliant in business. He knew the art of the deal. I think that's the name of his book, was The Art of the Deal. Now you have the same dude who's used to running a corporation, running America like a corporation. And he was the outsider that nobody was expecting him to win. But he was able to motivate his people, his followers, with whatever racist speech you want to call it, whatever hateful speech or anti-feminist, whatever you want to call it. He was able to motivate those people that felt the same way he did. That's what happened in that election. The Democrats betted, put up a woman who could not even win an election at high school popularity right now. Nobody wants to be associated with her because they knew that she was bad news. Now, again, now you have the opposite in Donald Trump, who is bad news, but now is that he is in power, he's going to show the whole world that, hey, I got the power, you know what I'm saying, and I'm going to make the news even worse now because, again, everything that he does is meant to benefit the rich corporation owners, and the poor are being asked to foot the bill. The poor are being the ones
exactly.
who are asked to give up their food stamps, which, again, we do believe you got to get your butt up and get a job eventually. 2 years
right.
at the most, you know what I'm saying? After 2 years, you ain't been trying. It's really not on the government or the taxpayers to pay for your salary. I mean, I hate that kids
exactly.
have to suffer.
Exactly.
I hate that kids have to suffer, man. But sometimes, you know, the reality is, people like to say, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat, you know?
Well, you know, yeah, and to go along with that, if you don't want the kids to suffer, then listen to what Michael Jackson told you. He said, if you can't feed the babies, then don't have the babies.
Exactly. And even with me, you know, now I'm just keep this real. A lot of people, we know that white supremacy has a final say in everything up on the planet Earth, because it is the these group of white men who control Europe and the United States that seek to dominate and make everybody else submit to them throughout the whole
mm-hmm.
world. So we understand that. But at what point do you see your child hungry? And as a human being, you get out there and say, whatever I got to do legitimately, because I can go back to selling drugs. I can do anything right now to make sure that my son has food in his mouth. But I choose mm-hmm. to be around for a long time to be able to put food in my son's mouth. So I'm not going to make these stupid decisions. You know what I'm saying? To depend
exactly.
on the government who don't give a damn about me, or play their game to go sell drugs, you know what I'm saying, just to feed my children. If I have to get out here and work 2 minimum wage jobs just to make 50 hours a week to make sure that I got a roof over his head
and clothes on his back, food in his stomach. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do as a responsible adult. I'm not going to sit around. Yeah, I've been helped out with food stamps quite a few times, but it was always to get myself on my feet. And once I got on my feet, I left it alone, you know? But
exactly.
We have to
exactly.
get people – actually, basically, we have to – I'm going to just keep it real. We damn near have to stigmatize. And a lot of people say it's negative, but you got to, you know, make being on welfare and food stamps for those who are dipping the system seem like one of the worst degradations on the face of the earth. You have to basically shame these people into the reality that as long as you depending on your sugar daddy to give you something, that's just what he's going to treat you like, a bloody sugar daddy. And he's going to give you what he wants, tell you what he needs you to do for him. And if you don't do it, then your supply is cut out. So
exactly.
I'm not going to depend on somebody to give me something when I can get out here and nothing else, cut 5-6 yards a day at $25 a day. Hey, you know, I mean, anything to support my family legitimately without having to ask him, Donald Trump, you know what I'm saying, and his cohort to continue to feed me during the month, pay $800-something of my bill, and all I got to come up with is $8. You know what I'm saying? How that work, Alfonso? They got to pay $8 for they got to pay $8 for their rent. See, I got to come up on $700 almost every month. Don't get no
exactly.
nothing.
That's it. That's it. That story reminded me of a lady 3 months ago. She was on the housing program, and I think her rent is $25 a month, and she has a 1-2 bedroom house, and the people across the street, theirs is right at $1,700 a month. Well, they got into a bind, and so those that was paying the $1,700 a month rent could no longer pay the rent, and so they got evicted, and the sheriff's deputy came to sit their stuff out, and her and I were talking to the lady across the street that pays only $25 a month for rent, and she was putting the people down, saying how it was a shame they got put out and couldn't pay their rent. I said, well, hell, you pay $25 a month. You should talk. You know, you should talk. You pay $25 a month. It pays $1,700 a month. I think you really need to be quiet, because if it was you, you probably would be getting put out too. But you laying around doing something close to nothing. You pay $25 a month rent, and you make fun of those that get put out of their homes and their apartment because they couldn't pay the rent, because you sitting around there doing something close to nothing, and if it was not for the government, you wouldn't be there. You know, so
yeah.
It's time that we begin to educate our people and to get them ready to come up off of this system, because the system is a way up, and I think you would agree with that, Robert. It's a trap.
Well, again, it's designed, Alfonso, as the new form of slavery. You know what I'm saying? Slavery has never been eradicated in America. Even when you look at the 13th Amendment, you would understand that legally, you know, prisoners are nothing more than slaves. But
the
new form of slavery is you can't just be brutally oppressive, you know what I'm saying, because it would be obvious. So what you do, you be seductive. Again, you play that sugar daddy role, and you make people want to enslave themselves. And that's what you have with the welfare system. It's nothing more than a new form of slavery, along with the prison industrial complex. It's all designed to keep a certain group perpetually dependent and suppressed upon the powers that be, and that's what you're witnessing. So, it's crazy, man. But again, the whole thing is, what are you as an individual going to do? Are you going to step up and, you know, be responsible, take control of your own life, or are you going to continue to allow people who you know don't give a damn about you? Literally, again, let me reiterate, this dude that took he's going to take $194 billion away from the food stamp program, but just gave $110 billion to a foreign government to buy some weapons to go and create another illegal war. So that lets you know they don't give a damn about you. So why would you depend on somebody who don't give a damn about you to feed you every month, to pay a subsidy what allows you to pay $8 a month? When I know people, man, Alfonso don't get kicked out. They can't come up with the $8. I'm serious.
Oh,
I've known that to happen, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, I mean, that's just the point we're at. What are our people going to do? Are we going to continue to watch these fake reality shows on television, Housewives of Atlanta and, you know, Love and Hip Hop? That has nothing to do with the reality of black people. The only reality show that we can really identify with, what's that?
I'm glad you brought that up. Reality show. And a lot of our black sisters, they crave the show. And I'm like, we just have some rich black women, and most of them from the ghetto, got money now. And so you sit and you watch them degrade one another on TV, call each other every name but the name on the birth certificate. We have to stop letting the white man use us to embarrass us.
Well, it's that, Alfonso, but it goes to a deeper psychological conditioning, because now through the TV, these fake reality shows that they're showing, they're putting a false image of reality out there in front of our people. When in reality, the only reality show we as black folks can really identify with is Cops and the First 48. That's the real reality of most black people.
Amen.
But now you put these crazy women who are actually performing a script, because they have writers to write these episodes. So they're making these women think that this is how women with money act. Okay, well, if it is, you ain't got none. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So how
exactly.
You gonna try to go buy this $400 purse like her on TV when your kids, you know what I'm saying, you gotta shop at or depend on donations from the church to get your kids school clothes. You see what I'm saying? So Go ahead.
You know, and as it's something you said again, you know, just made me think. Some of them just laying down there when they're watching their reality shows. Hell, they barely have something in the house to eat themselves.
Yeah, you know, ramen noodles and wieners are not a nutritious meal for your kids. You see what I'm saying? it's not, Alfonso. But this is the kind of stuff you see our people going to the grocery store getting. Instead of, you know what I'm saying, getting meat to sustain them, they getting wieners and TV dinners and the rest of the stuff they selling so they can go have a nice outfit to go to the club. They got to go to
Coca-Cola and stuff. And incidentally, they were talking a while back, and I haven't heard anything else about it, but they were talking about having to fix so certain items in a grocery store, if you were receiving food stamps, you couldn't buy them no more. You know, like steak,
yeah, sodas and
stuff
like that.
Exodus and all that stuff. You know, you like the pork chops, you like the steaks and the lamb and all that. Well, no, you're going to get the Wilson Wiener, you're going to get the bologna, you know, we'll let you get a little chicken.
Now, what does that go back to, Alfonso, what we've been alluding to earlier in the show, that once you're depending on your sugar daddy, Uncle Sam, to, you know what I'm saying, with an uncle like Sam, man, I'm talking about, you don't need no kinfolk, because Uncle Sam ain't my jack. So now you're depending on Uncle Sam to give you this money every month to buy food, but now Uncle Sam come in and tell you you can't buy number raisins. You know what I'm saying? You can't buy number watermelon and fried chicken, Negro. You know what I'm saying? I'm just using that, you know, as an example to reiterate how, again, once you depend upon the system, you're nothing but a slave and have no choice but to do what Uncle Sam tells you to do. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So,
it's because you bought and paid for it. In a sense, but everything that we've discussed on today's show will be uploaded to Injustice Investigations, uploaded to the Real News Behind the News, which is Robert Thomas' talk show. And since we have a few minutes left, Robert, let's talk about the Real News Behind the News, because we never give that a shout out on this show and what's going on with that and so we can get some listeners that way as well.
Well, right now, what I'm trying to do, I got a lot of other things going with trying to establish a little LLC, but the Real News Behind the News is going to always be there if we don't do nothing but make one or two Facebook posts a week. The whole objective of Real News Behind the News is to point out issues that the average person has been brainwashed to overlook or just really don't care about, and try to show them how it affects your day-to-day life, whether it be an international, national, state, or local issue. We try to show you the reality. Again, one of the most one of the things that we're going to need a lot of people to step out with the real news behind the news on over the next few days is how blacks are being locked out of a lot of these contracts here in the city of Shreveport in Caddo Parish. And again, I'll be looking for us to bring another video to y'all of what's going on up there at Lanier. So these are the kind of things we do at Real News Behind the News. We don't just talk about it. We actually get out there and try to do something about it, you know. The Real News Behind the News is more than just a radio show. It's people like yourself and I, Alfonso, actually challenging and speaking to power, you know, demanding accountability from not only people in positions of authority, but religious leaders and even the people themselves. Everybody must be held accountable, and that's one of the main things that drives the Real News Behind the News, accountability, but more so information over entertainment.
Exactly. Now, what about, because you have another page going, Justice for Felons.
Well, on Justice for Felons, what we try to do is be an encouragement to those who are in prison and who are getting out of prison. We try to actually highlight injustices in the legal system, but more so give solutions to these problems by posting, job openings or just an encouraging word. Justice for Felons is basically a spiritual outreach to those who fell victim to this system and find themselves a second-class citizen due to that felony label. And we give them hope, you know what I'm saying? We give them a voice to fight with. You know, a lot of people don't know how to fight or what to say, and I'm just keeping it real. You know, they just don't know what to do.
Exactly.
And through the experiences that the Creator has given me, I use that to try to guide these people who are just like me, you know what I'm saying, through this maze of injustice to try to get justice for felons. So that's what that's all about.
Exactly. And so you can always go on the Real News Behind the News of Justice for Felons and inbox Robert if you have an issue that you want him to look into, or you can inbox me on Injustice Investigations if you have an issue that you would like for me to look into. But all shows are really just one show there, and we're always trying to encourage our people. But the one thing that we cannot do, we cannot be one-sided. We cannot just keep pointing the blame at the white man or the government. We have to tell our people, you need to get up off your butt and you need to do something for yourselves, because what you think will not happen is about to happen, and what you don't know, they said won't hurt you, that's a lie. What you don't know can hurt you and can also have you sitting in your apartment hungry.
Yeah, or in prison, trying to satisfy that hunger. So
exactly.
Knowledge is the most powerful. Even if you go and look at the scriptures, the Bible always tells you, in all you're getting, get knowledge, get wisdom, get understanding. It don't say nothing about get riches. It says get knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, because if you got these three riches, they're going to come. And when they come, you'll know how to wisely apply them. It's all about helping somebody else. And that's what Injustice Investigation, the Real News Behind News, and everything that we do, Alfonso, is about helping somebody else. You know, when the Real News Behind News get out here next week and try to fight, you know, for some of these contracts, hey, if the people get behind me and help me get awarded with these contracts, I can put our people to work. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I can employ people. You know, so that's what it's about, being a blessing, you know.
As always, we thank you all for tuning in to today's show. We will be back tomorrow at 1:00. If you learned anything from today's show, I would hope it is simply to get up and just better myself, because I am the future and I have to do it. It's not just for me. I have to do it for my kids, because if you have kids, you're no longer just living for yourself. You're living for your kids. Robert, we have about 20 seconds. I'm going to give you the last words.
Michael Jackson said it best. I only want to say they don't really care about us. Donald Trump do not care about you, and he just proved that by giving these folks weapons at the tune of $100-some billion that's going to cut their food stamps. So you make the decision for yourself. Do you trust the government, or do you trust yourself to provide for your kids? Y'all be blessed.
Y'all be blessed.